Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in tonight to Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. Tonight we'll be talking about loving yourself and your partner 365 days a year. I have with me tonight Janet Hurd, still waiting for Sky Vaughn and A. Michelle Grogan to dial in. They're a little bit late tonight, but we will carry on the show until they get here. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Hey, Janet.
Hey, hey, good evening.
I hear you're a little bit under the weather, but I'm glad you tuned in with us tonight.
Thank you, no problem.
So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of loving one another every day, even when you don't like one another too much. It's one of the times when, you know, you're put through your biggest test as to whether or not you're truly in love with the person that you're in a relationship with. Because we are two totally separate individuals, there are going to be times when you're not going to agree, and it doesn't mean that you have a bad relationship, and it doesn't mean that you're not a good match for one another. It just means that you are two individual people who have your own way and your own thoughts and your own desires at times, and sometimes they don't mesh with one another, but that has nothing to do with your love. That has everything to do with your preferences at the time, and it shouldn't be something that should stop you from loving one another. So we're going to dive into the importance of loving yourself every day and making sure that you love your partner and be respectful and have love in your relationship every day, no matter what. So we're going to talk a little bit about how you cultivate love for yourself and love for your partner and how you guys exercise that with one another. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So when you speak, you can give your area code and the last four digits of your number. You can give your name or you can give a pseudonym. This is a safe space, and all we ask is that you be respectful. You don't have to agree with everything that anyone is saying, but just be respectful when you disagree. Having said that, I'm going to open the floor up. Is there anyone who has any opening statements or any opening questions? Okay, I'll start right in on one of the questions that came in. We have a question here tonight where they said they always hear us talking about cultivating our love and growing our love, and we always use a symbolism of gardens and lawns and so on and so forth. And they wanted to know why we do that. So, Janet, if you don't mind, I'd like you to start that off, and then I'll chime in on whatever is not there.
Oh, no problem. I think they probably use the analogy as far as gardening when it comes to cultivating your love relationship or basically any type of relationship, is because I guess you can kind of see love as being as a seed that is planted, and once you put that seed into fertile ground, then that seed needs to still be nourished in order for it to get the proper growth that it needs to actually grow up healthy, whatever that seed is, whatever type of seed it is, whether it's a tree or whether it's an apple tree or a plum tree or whatever it is, you know, you want to make sure you have to cultivate it and make sure that it gets everything that it needs in order for it to sustain, you know, life. When it comes down to our love relationship, nobody comes in there and just, bam. I mean, some people say they have, bam. They came in there full-blown, and I just so in love with her, you know, love at first sight or whatever. But even in that, even if you feel like that's something that you've experienced, whether it was something that happened within 20 minutes or an hour or something that it took time to develop, you still have to cultivate it in order to maintain it, which just means to keep it up, you know. You know, you have to still do those or do things to actually nourish that relationship. You know, those things that you do to keep it stimulated. Because anything that you don't keep or you don't stimulate or you don't cultivate, it eventually dies. Just like in a garden, we may use the analogy of the garden, whereas if you don't cultivate that garden, then sometimes weeds have a tendency to flourish, to come up. And most of us know that weeds is an enemy to any type of produce, whether it's a flower, plant, whatever the case may be, because it chokes out the root of the very thing that you're trying to keep healthy, you know. And we have roots, we have weeds in relationships that sometimes keeps up, and sometimes they come off small as it looks like a flower. Some weeds, I mean, it looks like identical to a flower. And many times, it is. And if you're not careful, you know, you would think that weed is a friend to your relationship. Oh, that's cute. That's a good right there. Did you plant that, honey? No, I didn't plant that, baby. That's a weed. You need to get rid of that. You know, because if you don't, yeah, you know, it's going to, you know, eventually choke out the good stuff, what we have. You know, and those things, those weeds in our relationship, people might see it as something harmless. Oh, it's so cute. It's not out cute. You know, it looks nice and it looks, you know, okay right there and, you know, whatever. But it's not there for the benefit or for the health of your relationship or for the health of that gardening, whatever that may be. So you have to pull it up. And when you pull it up, you have to get it by the root. Because if you don't get it by the root, then chances are it's going to grow deep and it's going to keep coming back. If you don't take that thing out of there, and roots in relation, you can have weeds in your relationship. It can be something as simple as maybe a family member. It can be a root. It could be a weed in your relationship. So those things you have to pay attention to, because everything that looks good, it's not going to be good and it's not going to be healthy for you or the relationship. And I just think I'll just let it go on that note right there.
Well, there's not much for me to add to that, because that's exactly why we use those analogies, because we do want to let you know that you can't just let it go on automatic pilot. You do have to do work in it, and you have to constantly work at maintaining your relationship. The hard part or the work really doesn't start with you trying to get the person into a relationship with you. The work And the real work comes in that relationship when you're trying to maintain that relationship and keep it stable. It's easy to get someone. It's very, very, very difficult in order to maintain it and keep a balance. That's a totally different story. There are people who can go out there and get someone every day of the week, but they can't maintain a relationship every day of the week. And so that's why we talk about That's why we use analogies and symbolisms of plants and lawns, because if you let your lawn go, your grass will die. And Janet said weeds will crop up. And just like Janet said, there are some relationships that look like they're very beautiful because some weeds look exactly like flowers. And you know, that's so pretty and purple and look how lush it is. And it's a weed and it's killing your lawn. It's like bugs that you really don't see in your lawn, but it's eating away at your turf and it's killing your lawn, and you're wondering why you have all of these brown spots on your lawn. The same thing happens to relationships. You just get into the relationship and think that the relationship is going to move and grow on its own without you having to participate in it and maintain any kind of consistency going with strengthening and having a true and sound love relationship, it will start to get brown rings. It will start to develop bugs. It will start to get weeds. You will get bald spots. You know, you need to fertilize your relationships and you need to fertilize yourself. Because we're not just talking about relationships, because sometimes some people have such a lack of love for themselves that it's difficult for them to love someone else. So we're talking about an all-around thing now. We're talking about you loving yourself and being happy with yourself and being in joy with yourself, and you loving your partner in spite of, I mean, that's your partner. And that's what you said. And if you were looking for a perfect person, then you're going to be forever looking, because we're not perfect. We all have imperfections. We're imperfectly perfect. So that's the one thing we're perfect at, being imperfect. So, you can't put unrealistic expectations on yourself or on your relationship or your partner, because all you're doing is setting yourself up for failure and hurt. And what we're trying to do is bring about love and understanding as to the reality of relationships. So now that we've put that out as to what we're talking about, and we answered that question as to why we use symbolisms and analogies in the way that we want, I see that some more people have dialed in. Does anyone have any questions or any statements they'd like to make? Again, you can use your real name. You don't have to say a name at all, or you can use your area code and the last four digits of your number. Okay. One of the topics this week in life, on the page of Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment, we talked about people always looking over at another relationship or thinking the grass is greener on the other side. I got a question with regard to that article that I wanted to bring up tonight in the show, aside from some other questions that were sent in for the show. They were saying, you know, how does one know whether or not when they step out thinking the grass is greener on the other side that it will indeed be that and they're not making a mistake? I'm going to put that question out there. If someone who's on the line want to tackle it, or if either one of the co-hosts want to tackle it, I'm going to put that out before I say anything on it. But they wanted to know, you know, how do you know whether or not the grass is truly indeed greener on the other side before you choose to step over into another lawn?
Well, I say, well, in the beginning, I guess you probably don't know, because it looks so green and, oh, wow, the grass is beautiful, you know, whatever. And so you actually, it's like the closer you get to it, the closer that you get to that lawn and, you know, you begin to see, wow, you know, it doesn't, it looks like grass and it's really, really green. And it could be an artificial type of grass, you know, which means that you never have to water that grass. If you never, ever water that grass, it's still going to be green. It's still going to look beautiful. It's still going to look perfect and pretty. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to maintain anything that is fake, because it's you know, it's designed to look that way, you know. So it's not going to cost you much work, you know. You it's like someone, some people don't want to be in a certain type of relationship. They just want to be in a relationship where, oh, I'm going to give me a fine, beautiful woman, you know, a trophy kind of woman, an arm piece. So when I go, you know, to this, you know, formal event, I got me a beautiful woman on my arm. You know what I'm saying? Yes, she looks good. She looks beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. I mean, you know, turn all kinds of heads when she enters into a room because she's just that beautiful and gorgeous. You know, so you smiling, oh, yeah, I got the best thing up in here. You know, maybe on the physical you do. On the physical you do, and you're looking at it from a physical aspect. But then as you get to know, as you got closer to that individual, you begin to see things that wasn't so beautiful anymore. You know, so it's like that. That's really how it is. It's like the closer you get to something, you got a close up on that grass now. You actually got your feet in it. It don't really even feel like the grass that how we know the real grass. It's like you start learning the you know, the little things about that grass that you don't see or that you don't have to do with the real grass. In the real world, the real grass, it takes work to maintain, to keep it beautiful, to keep it looking, you know what I'm saying? And the real grass, it dies. It goes through a season where it dies. It's going, I don't care what you do, there's a season in your life that grass is going to die. It's going to start getting brown, turning brown and whatever. But the thing about it is that it's going to come back to life again. And so just like the reality of us in our daily life, there's things that we're going to go through. We're not going to have a bunch of happy days. All of our days are not going to be wonderful, beautiful, and exciting, and we feel like $1 million or whatever. There is going to be things that happen in your life that's going to knock you to your feet. You don't even know if you can face another day. That could be a dead season in your life. But as long as if you have someone there that's saying, baby, it's going to be okay. You know what I'm saying? Because even when the grass is dead in a wintertime or whatever, there are things that they give you or tell you. They come out and treat your grass, you know, maybe once or something like that in the winter or right before in the fall or whatever when things are dying to ensure that it maintains healthy, you know, throughout that point. So when the spring comes up, everything is going to be back beautiful again. But there is still certain type of, you know, you have to maintain that grass. So, like I said, the closer you get to that thing, this, you start seeing, okay, this ain't real. Look, it's not even absorbing. You know, they don't even, you know what I'm saying? It's you just know it's not real. But you got to get close to it. From afar, you can't tell. It looks beautiful. But when you get up close, you start seeing those little, okay, it shows now. So.
Well, I agree. And like you said, you know, it's not actually like the grass really dies. It just goes dormant. Because, as Janet said, everything has its seasons. You know, that's why we have four seasons. So there's a change. It gives things time to rejuvenate itself. And your relationship is the same way. Your relationship at times may seem like it's going dormant. And that's an opportunity for rejuvenation and bringing in new life, to bring spring back into your relationship and to have a summer, you know, to relieve yourself of some of the things, to shed yourself, to have a fall, you know, to go into, because sometimes you have to shed some of the things that everyday life brings you that will bog down your relationship. So you're going to have a fall. And then you're going to have a winter where everything may go dormant, where everything seems dark, where everything seems cold. But you know that that's only for a moment. If you're constantly working and putting time into that relationship, into yourself and into your partner, because spring always comes. There is not a time when every season does not appear. And if it doesn't, then we're in trouble. You know, whenever we have not gone through all of our seasons and one season stayed beyond its time, it has wreaked havoc and created death. So the same thing happens with us. If we have little things that are going on in our relationship or little things that are going on within ourselves, and we allow it to just continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and fester over time, we'll wake up one morning and we won't love We won't love ourselves. We won't love our partners. We wake up and we won't find love in anything that's around us. And we'll be in a constant search, in a constant state of darkness because, you know, we just can't see the love and the rejuvenation and the growth and the joy in anything around us because we've just gone dormant and we've kind of wallowed in that dormant stage and we can't figure out a way to come out of it. And tonight, one of the big things we want to discuss and talk about is that no matter what you were told when you were young, no matter what people are saying to you now, at some point, time or another, you have to look within yourself and be able to find the beauty in you so that you can love you. And we're all beautiful. We can't get caught up with what people deem beautiful. We can't get caught up with what society says is beautiful to us. We have got to look inside of ourselves and see that there is a beautiful soul that resides within us. And no matter how many times you've been told you're not nothing, you ain't nothing, you ain't never going to be nothing, nobody ever going to love you, nobody ever going to want you, you need to wake up and stand up against that voice and say, no, you might not want me. You might not want to love me. You might not want to do any of those things that you said nobody else wants to do, but I want to love me. You know, and I know that there is somebody out there who does, who can, and who will love me. And I'm not going to listen to what you're saying. I'm going to break past you and your pain and embrace me with love. And you tell that to yourself every day because there are people who are so unhappy with themselves that they stop working on them and start working on you. And we want to get you to break past that. You don't let someone else tell you what your relationship is about. How do they know? They're not in it. They just know what you said. And sometimes we say some things when we're in the heat of a moment that, you know, it's just that, the heat of the moment. Right now we weren't liking. We didn't like you at the moment. So, you know, we said some stuff. But when you really, really, really love that person, you have to get past that. Oh, I don't like you today. I'm not feeling you today. You know, you did something or you said something that really hurt my feelings and I didn't like that and I'm not liking you right now. But I love you. Because my loving you is totally and ultimately different from my liking you. We're open to take any questions or any statements out there from the audience. Anyone has anything that they want to say? Has Sky checked in?
I'm here. I just checked in.
Hey, Sky. How
can
are
you? Can
you
hear me? Hey there. I'm good.
Yes, I can.
I'm good.
Is there anything
you might want to
add?
Yeah, I wanted to piggyback on what Janet said. I loved every single thing that she said in her analogies and how she put it with the graph. Everything she said, I agree with. And when I counsel, it's interesting, and you counsel too, Minister, so you may have heard it too. People seem to think that there's a formula to how relationships work. They see things on TV. They see things maybe in other relationships, and they try to form something around that. And I have to explain, there is no formula. You know, you and your mate create whatever that's going to be and how it's going to work for you. And when you are going to have peaks and valleys, it's going to be seasons, you know. And how you come through that is what makes you stronger, if you're able to work through that. Because those are the moments you're seeing each other in a vulnerable state. And you're seeing each other for who you really are. And if you can work past that, work with that, and come back around together with a new appreciation for each other, that's going to make you even stronger. So it's kind of like, well, kind of welcome that challenge, you know, when it comes up and not run away from it because maybe your feelings got hurt a little bit. You know, depending on what it is, a lot of things we our own insecurities or whatever will come in front of us, and we'll take things personal when your mate really didn't do anything, but something was triggered in you that happened way before you even got into a relationship with this person. So the work that has to be done, you have to look into yourself and really be honest with yourself. Where are these feelings coming from? You have to make a commitment with your mate. We're going to work through this stuff. We're not going to run away. You have to be careful with your language as you're going through difficulties. You have to communicate with each other. Look, I'm going through something right now. If I'm seeming a little bit distant or whatever, don't take it personal. This is what I'm going through. You know, those are the types of things that you have to talk about and work through, because it's true. There are going to be seasons, and the grass may look greener on the other side, like Janice said, you know, but it's AstroTurf. What's up underneath the AstroTurf?
Nothing but dirt.
You know, there you go. So you have to, you know, and then real quick, the grass might be greener on the other side. Because if you on this side is not willing to work on your grass and you're not willing to feed it and nurture it, it takes two. And if one is not willing to do that after the other person's trying, then the grass might be greener over there. So you have to really focus on your relationship and do the work. Don't put it on one the other person. It's two of you working together.
Not to mention that no matter what side of that fence you land on, you're still going to have to work that lawn.
Absolutely.
There's no way around it. You're going to work a lawn, whether it's on your side or on the other side of that fence. You're going to work there,
right.
And because it's green over there, that was your start. You got to keep it green. So, you know, there's no way around it. We have grown up in such an instant society. You know, you go to fast food restaurants and everything is right at your fingertips now. You don't even have to really research in order to do any schoolwork. You know, when we were growing up, you had to get out. You needed to know the Dewey Decimal. You had to go in the library and actually pull out cards and go find that book and do all of that kind of stuff. Now everything is right at your fingertips, and now people want at-my-fingertip relationships. They just want to push a button and want it all to just, boom, drive up through the drive-thru, give me a Whopper, a large Coke, and a fry, and drive away. And, you know, that's dinner, so on and so forth. But that's not how the nature of relationships are. Relationships are about communing, communicating, and interacting. And you have to find a way and find the time to get all of those things in. And that's also with the relationship with yourself. You have to take time out to spend some time with you. If it's no more than taking out 30 to 45 minutes reading a day, writing, if your thing is sewing, if your thing is dancing, turn the music up loud and get your dance on. Whatever your thing is, find the happiness, that joy within yourself so that you can begin to love you again, because the world will bog you down. You know, there's always something coming at us, you know. And you want, when you get home, you want to know when you walk in that door that your house is so filled with such a loving energy that it changes. You shed all of that dirt and filth of the world at the doorstep. And when you step into that house, it's like stepping into cooling waters. The environment should be a totally different environment, to the point where you love so much being at home. Tell you know, it's a fight to get you to come out. You love spending time with your partner, that it's a fight to get you to go out. You know, and your friends are going to, you know, rub at you with it, you know, oh, you whipped, or oh, you got in this relationship and you can't give any time. Well, I don't know about you, but I love my partner, or I love my wife, or I love whatever label you want to put them under, and I love spending time with them. And I'm sorry that you don't have that experience. You know, you're my friend. You're going to be there. I know you will, because you're my friend. And me taking some time for me, or me taking some time for my partner, shouldn't make you feel any kind of way in that relationship. But we do have to work on us, and we do have to work on our relationships. And every day, there should be no time that you should be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, I do not love me. Even if you're feeling it, you stand in that mirror and you tell yourself, I love me. I love me. Because all of those feelings and all of those emotions are just habits that we've grown into. So we got the habit of not loving ourselves. We can get the habit of loving ourselves. Tonight we're talking about loving ourselves 365 days of the year and loving our partners and our relationships in the same manner and way. Anyone out there have any questions? Any statements? Such silence.
I was going to say, too, that, I mean, gardening is one way to, you know, people use that analogy a lot when it comes to relationships or whatever, but, I mean, I like to even use, even as it relates to cars. If you don't keep it maintained, you know what I'm saying? Yes, it might be a beautiful car. I don't care if you have a Bentley, a Rolls Royce, or whatever type of car you have, you still have to keep it maintained in order for it to keep to work, function properly. You know what I'm saying? Some things are immediate, you know, work that you continuously have to do. And some things might, down the road or periodically, every now and then you may have to take a trip or go somewhere, just, you know what I'm saying, a vacation, you and your partner, get away from everybody and just do something, you know what I'm saying, to give your relationship a overall treatment. You know what I mean? But like I said, there are some things that you're going to have to do regularly in a relationship to keep it going, just like in a car. You have to do things regularly, like put gas in it. The more you drive it, it's going to start getting on empty. It's not going to stay on full. So therefore, excuse me, as much as you drive it, you know, you need that fuel to put back in there, because otherwise your energy is, you're going to lose it. So you have to really, really, you know, put something into the relationship, put something into your wife, let your wife put something back in you. And whatever that thing is that keeps you motivated, keeps you going, keep you like, oh, I love that woman. You know what I'm saying? Those are things that determines what type of gas you use. Everybody don't need that, you know, premium. Everybody don't need that. But there are those who do. So there are those that just like, baby, don't take all that to please me. You know what I'm saying? It's just the thoughtfulness that you took the time out to even text me and say, baby, I love you so much today. You know, that meant the world to somebody, whereas somebody else, you know, okay, yeah, well, you know, they got, you know, so they need a little bit more. So, I mean, so that person just used unleaded. It's not to say that the premium is, you know, in some sense for some people, I mean, yes, because it has, you know, less lead in there, it may come across better, but some people don't need that. You know what I'm saying? Whatever that person needs, whatever takes them to the top. Some women love lilies. Some women love, you know, everybody got different type of flowers that they like. Some like roses. And so just because you like roses doesn't mean that the lily is less valuable. You know, it's all about that individual, what they like, what you know what I'm saying, for them. So if that person, if it's going to take premium to keep that thing on full, to keep it running smooth, then that's what you use. You know what I'm saying? It's for as much as you need to keep it going. I love my baby, you know, love her chocolate chips, cookies, and her milk. Let me stop and grab her a bag, or, you know, she didn't look like there was much left. You know, it's the little things that you, the show that, baby, I was just thinking about you today at work, and I was just, you know, had a moment on my lunch, and I just started reflecting on our relationship, and I was like, wow, and you know how much I love you. You know, I just, you know, it's okay to even to expound on those things. Some people are not communicators, and some people have a hard time expressing what they feel emotionally, and that is sometimes for some people, they need that. They need affirmation. You know, that's what you start dealing with, is talking about the different five, this is the five something of love, or whatever. But I'm just saying, you have
love
to maintain
language,
whatever
language.
It is. Yes, 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 the love language, the five love language, whatever that love language is for that individual. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that you cater to that love language and not something that your last, your ex used to love, and you're just going to do it to this one and thinking that's going to make her go giddy. That's not going to make her go giddy. You got to find out what her love language is. You know, put that fuel in the tank. That's what you have to operate on. And that has to happen continuously. It's the little things. It doesn't mean that you got to go out and just do big stuff all the time. I'm a spontaneous person. Anybody that knows me knows you don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not predictable when it comes down to my woman. You know, some things might be a little predictable, but for the most part, she's going to have a hard time. Wow, what she got up today? What's going on? You know, you're not going to be able to just predict me because, you know, like I say, it could be something as, I mean, and that brings the beauty into a relationship too. But then on the other hand, you got people who don't like surprises. Some people just want to know ahead of time, and some people, but my point is, whatever that thing is, whatever that fuel is to keep that relationship or, you know, going, fueling, keeping that keeping the fire logs burning in the fireplace. You gotta maintain it. You gotta turn it. You gotta, you know what I'm saying, make sure that it's getting the appropriate amount of air or oxygen or whatever the case may be to keep the flames going. Otherwise, it's gonna go out. You know, and I just wanted to reiterate it. You know, just say that because there's so many analogies really you can use. You know, when you're talking about keeping that fire burning, keeping that love going, making sure that love stays hot, that your woman stays wanting you, desiring you, you know, craving you. Even after 15 years, they still have that desire, and it grew. Especially when they turn around and look and they see, yeah, stuff appears to be beautiful, but you're afraid because you see so much stuff going on. So the more you hear about these other relationships and marriages and stuff like that, it makes you many times appreciate who you have even more. He's like, wow, I'm so grateful that my baby don't. She don't take me through those kind of changes. That's not her personality. That's not her character. That's another. You become more grateful and thankful. Like, wow, I'm so grateful for her. It makes you want to just do something even extra. Let me show how much I really appreciate her because I don't want her. You know what I'm saying? It's just keeping your relationship maintained, maintenance. You know, it doesn't have to be high maintenance. It could be high maintenance for somebody else. It may not be high maintenance for somebody else. So. Just keep whatever it takes for you. That's why I love getting to know my woman. I want to know everything about her inwardly because the other stuff you can learn. I can love what her favorite color is or her favorite food, the type of shoes she wears. I can bust surface stuff. You can always learn those things. But the things that about her that she don't even have a grip on, I want to know those things, those emotions, those things that you can't see. That's what I want to know about her, and I want to cater to those things, to the soul of that woman. I want to cater to that. I want to flourish that. I want to make those things come alive and stay alive. That's what I want to do. That's maintaining it. That's keeping it going. When all this other stuff fades away, I still love this woman and she loves me because I'm catering to the seed of her emotions, everything about her that makes her who she is. That's what I want to love the most. Okay, I'm going to stop.
Well, since you opened up that can of worms, let's segue into, and I'm going to put something out there and let Sky and you, Janet, expound on it. But let's talk about needing to do more than the bare minimum and expecting the maximum results in things. We want to do the bare minimum, and we have all these expectations of getting these maximum results. Let's use your analogy, Janet, with the cars. You know, it takes more than keeping your car clean on the inside and the outside and putting gas in it to keep it maintained. You know, you have oil,
mm-hmm.
which needs
Absolutely.
To be changed regularly. You have tires that need rotating. You have tune-ups that go on. You need to check the transmission. You know, it's more than just keeping something looking good on the outside and running
exactly.
And having the tank full in order to consider yourself maintaining something, you know,
mm-hmm.
talk about the responsibilities of loving when you say you want to be in a relationship, not only with yourself, but in a relationship with someone else, the responsibility and the obligations of that whole statement and when you step into it, you know. Let's talk about what maintenance really, really is. As opposed to, you know, looking beautiful on the outside while dying on the inside.
Yeah, well, I think that over time, you know, sometimes it's just like when you go out and purchase a car, and sometimes you can buy a brand new car straight off the showroom floor, and then 2 months later you get a recall. That's not, you know, that's a factory thing. You bring it back, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, or whatever the case may be. But I'm going to say, as it relates to you getting an older car versus a newer car, you know, and I say, I don't mean with age. I'm talking about comparing it with relationships in cars. A person can be 20 years old, and you would say, wow, this person is young, so she's newer. She got lesser miles or whatever. Doesn't always mean that, because you can have a brand new car that have 300,000 miles on it. You know what I mean? Versus having an old car that doesn't have as much wear and tear on it. So it all depends on the upkeep and how you've driven that car, or what you did to put that miles on that car, or whatever. But the more usage on any vehicle, as far as a relationship, say for instance a person, you're in a relationship and you went through hell in that relationship, hell and high water with the individual. Not to say that that woman that you're with inflicted those, you know, all of the, you know, emotional, you know, traumas or whatever on your life. It's just that you as a couple went through those things together, and you found a lot of stuff to be so overbearing, but you fought through it together. And that's not a simple tune-up. That's not a simple oil change. We're going to say that your master cylinder went out in your car. You know what I'm saying? We're going to say that your car threw a ride, which means you're going to need a whole new engine. And that can be expensive. Are you able to maintain a relationship? Are you able to stick through there through the big things? You know, can you handle that? You know, and I use that comparing to say, for instance, when it comes down to your car needing a whole new engine, do you love this woman enough to want to stay there even when, you know, something, you know, really, really hard comes on, like, oh, God, I don't know how to do this. You know what I'm saying? Because really without the engine, you don't have a car. All you got is a shell. Everything else could be good, but if that engine goes out, to me, I look at that as being the heart and the blood that's pumped, the blood that keeps things going. Because once that dies, you know, I don't care how beautiful everything else is, you don't have anything. You got to keep that going. So therefore, the engine, you have to keep it, the regular thing, the small things going, to keep that going, which means you got to keep up the oil changes. You have to have the tune-ups. All that has to do, you know, with keeping, making sure that the engine is clean, that it doesn't get clogged up with old oil and things of that nature and stuff. You're keeping it flowing good. If you don't do nothing else to a car, even if you don't rotate the car tires, which you want to do that to minimize the minimum things. But I'm saying when it comes down to the big things, to make sure that thing stays running. You know what I'm saying? Because your car can still go if the tires are not rotated, but it will not go if that engine throws a rod. That's major. So that's something that you have to tend to foremost. And in doing that, that oil that goes in is like the blood that just keeps it flowing, that oil. You know, the engine itself is the soul. That's something that you have to, once that dies, you ain't got nothing left. That, I mean, you don't, not to say soul dies, but I'm just, you know, the spirit of that person. You got to just keep it going. And you could, your doctor could come and tell you, you know what, you know, you're in the fourth.
Hello?
Can my relationship survive this? You know, all of the other little things you've done or whatever. But when you love that, people don't just throw away, unless you got an old, used, beat-out car, ain't nothing else going right with this car, and the engine going out, too. So they want to get rid of the whole car. They don't even care. But if everything is going well, and that car is, like, fairly new, everything is beautiful, gorgeous, and something happens to the engine, you're going to invest in that engine. You're not going to just trash the whole car, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater. You're not going to do that because it's valuable to you. It means something.
So, Sky, how does a person go about, let's set out a framework, and it's not something etched in stone, but let's give a little starting block on how does a person go about working on loving themselves and their partner 365 days a year and 66 in a leap, even when there are days that come upon them, but they don't like each other so much.
Yeah, well, what we mentioned before, there are going to be those days. And when you talk about the maintenance that has to happen in a relationship and working on a relationship, I'm going to go back to the very beginning. And what I try to say to people, I'm from a community, well, we live in a society, we want everything now. Everything has to be quick, fast, and in a hurry. In my lesbian community, it's a joke. It's known that we have the U-Haul joke, that we meet each other, boom, we're moving in with each other the next week or two. There's something to be said about taking time to court someone. It's old-fashioned, yes it is, but if you can, I recommend you take time, you know, to really just try to get to know this person, to see if somebody you want to spend your life with. It takes a lot of different things. You have to have similar values, you know. You have to have similarities that's going to bind you and not pull you apart so quickly. And it takes time to know if you have those things in common. So once you do get into your relationship, you have some type of foundation there that can help when those times come up where you don't like that person necessarily. You know, you have something there to hold on to that can bring you back, can keep you steady instead of falling apart and just going away. So that's what, when I say I want to go to the beginning, if it's all possible, to take some time and get to know who you're dealing with, because it's just going to help out in the long run. The maintenance is continual. I mean, when you're doing work, you got to do work on yourself as well. It's simply the golden rule. You treat someone the way you want to be treated. One of the therapies I use in counseling is called Imago, and it's where you mirror each other, where you can really see where that person is coming from. You may look at it from one viewpoint and think that, you know, they're being ridiculous. But when you can really step back and kind of put yourself in their place and see why they're even this way, why they're coming this way, you know, then you'll get a better understanding and you can empathize with them. Oh, okay, I get it. I see where you're coming from now, you know. So that's what Imago does. That's the type of therapy. It gets you to the golden rule. Treat someone like you want to be treated. And try to understand them and where they're coming from. So that's the work you have to do. You have to be conscious of those things. When you talk about doing work, it's the emotional work you have to do. It's the psychological work you have to do in yourself so that you can connect with this person, so you can hold a space for this person and they can hold a space for you. You know, it's like you brought out, Minister, when you come home, You want it to be that place where you can just be and feel free and happy and safe. The word is safe when you come in. That's what a relationship should be, that you can be safe to be yourself. You can be angry. You can be all of those things without being judged by your partner. They should understand, okay, she's having a bad day. You know, that's what you want, instead of somebody, why are you acting like that, blah, 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 you know, and getting upset with you, when it really has nothing to do with them. You understand the difference there? And you should be able to be free to have a moment in your own home without it turning into a big melee. And that's what I talk, when I talk about the work, that's the work that has to happen constantly. You have to understand your person. They have to understand you. And it's a back and forth, and it takes time to do that. But that's the work. When you talk about doing the work, that's the work that has to be done on a regular basis. And over time it becomes easier because you've gotten to know them. You know their ways. You know if there's a certain way not to take it personal because they're just tripping or whatever. You come to know that over time, so it's not as serious as it was in the beginning. And that's the work. That's the work that's going to sustain you through those hard times, in the times when you don't like that person, you know, because it's going to happen. You know, but you're going to come back and just appreciate them even more because it's just part of who they are. And then they will do the same for you. And that's the work that has to happen on a continuous basis.
Right. It's like being on a swing. Mm-hmm. You know, the swing, without you doing the motions in both directions, that swing isn't going to move. You got to stick your legs out one way and bring them back in the other in order to get that swing to actually mm-hmm. swing, you know. And so that's the nature of a relationship, you know. You got to stick your legs out and then pull back and push yourself forward mm-hmm. and pull yourself back and mm-hmm. push yourself forward and pull yourself back. So you get that rhythm going, and that swing is easy, and you're going back, and the wind is blowing, and the breeze, and you just throw your head back and you look up at the sun like you did when you were a kid. And that's the joy that you can actually experience mm-hmm. in your relationship. When you allow yourself to love not only yourself, but to love your partner and to be free to do so, we spend so much time confining ourselves within ourselves so that no one knows who we are, to the point where we lose who we are and we start to dislike who we are and fall in love with who we've created ourselves to be, who really isn't who we are. And so we are in a constant battle and turmoil with ourselves. So of course we're going to be in a constant battle and turmoil with everyone else, because you know, right now we don't know what's real and what isn't real. And I thought it was interesting, because whenever we get our topics and we talk about whether or not we think the topic is going to work, and we have a little back and forth conversations with one another, I found myself having this discussion with Sky and Amy Shell and Janet, and saying, you know, yeah, people get caught up in this fairy tale of happily ever after. And Sky said something that I thought was so funny and profound. She said, well, you know, I believe in happily ever after, but I have to realize that sometimes the big bad wolf is going to show up. And I thought that was both, you know, funny
yeah.
and very profound, because if you're going yeah. to believe in a fairy tale relationship, then she's absolutely right. You have to remember that the big bad wolf will show up every now and then.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's not going to always be and the prince found the girl whose foot fit into the glass slipper and they lived happily ever after. Nah. Every now and then, that wolf is going to come out of Little Red White Riding Hood story and pop up in Cinderella. You know? So, you know, it's just the nature of the beast, because it's life, and we are all living life, and life comes with stuff. Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're gonna encounter stuff all the time, but the key in your relationship and loving yourself and loving your partner is to know that it is indeed just that, is stuff. And like we get into the showers and into tubs to wash the dirt off of ourselves, and like we chant to clear and free our energy, and like we burn incense and do sage smudges and do cleansings and all of those other things in our homes and with our bodies in order to get things back to a fluid state, so goes the nature of your relationship and loving yourself and loving your partner 365 days a year. Sometimes you need a cleansing. You know, sometimes we have to wash ourselves of the debris that we bring in from outside that we allow to bog down not only ourselves, but our partners in our relationships. Like we stated, home is your safe haven. You know, and it's where you're supposed to be. This the one place that you're supposed to be your authentic self without any fear whatsoever. And then that's a key of loving yourself, being yourself and embracing who you are, where you are, and those things. And that doesn't mean that you don't have things that you don't have to work on. And it doesn't mean that that's because it's you, you don't have to work on some things, because some things you shouldn't be doing, some things you shouldn't inflict on others or yourself. So those things you have to work on for you. There are things in your relationship that you shouldn't inflict upon one another. You just, you know, it just, it doesn't have to be. Because relationships are an adult kind of thing. When you start tampering with minds, hearts, and engaging physically in intimate ways, you know, so that's for adults. That's for people who are going to be accountable for their actions. And so, therefore, you have to be accountable for the things that you're doing, not only to others, but to yourself. You have to stand up and account for, I wasn't too good to myself today, and I'm going to love me better tomorrow, every day. I don't think I was good to myself today, but I'm going to love me better tomorrow. And I'm going to love you better tomorrow. And I'm going to love my friends better tomorrow. And my friends are going to love me better tomorrow. Because we understand one another, and we understand the things that we need, and we understand the whole purpose of communing and why love is so important in the world. And we understand what it means when it doesn't exist. All you have to do is open the door and look around.
One thing I want to, if I can, and put in there, when you talk about the safe haven and things like that, that doesn't normally happen right away. We all come with walls of some sort when we get into a relationship. We come with walls, and it takes time to break those walls down brick by brick. So as the walls are coming down and your authentic self starts to emerge and you bond in that way, that's when the safe havens are created, you know. So it happens over time. Again, that's the work we talk about doing. And over time it just gets easier and it becomes a safer place to be. And so you have to work towards that and build it. And back to the fairy tale, I do believe in the fairy tale still. I do. It's, when we talk about work, it's not a battle. It shouldn't be a battle constantly, like going with your gloves on and with just fighting and working all the time. You know, there are going to be those moments of peace, you know, and that's what I refer to as the fairy tale. You know, it can be beautiful. You know, as time goes on and you meld and you bond and you flow, it's a beautiful place to be and a beautiful thing to behold as a couple, you know. And then, you know, so the big bad wolf comes in every now and again, and we got to work with that, you know. But it's both things. It's not just all constant work and battle, you know. There's something to work towards, and that's the beauty of it. When you get in that flow with your partner and everything is good and you have a safe place, you know, there's nothing better than that. And to me, that's the fairy tale. So that's it.
Again, I see some more people have been dialing in and tuning in. Tonight we're talking about loving yourself and your partner 365 days a year. Does anyone else out there have something they might want to add or have a question? Any of the callers? Okay. Well, as usual, it's always a pleasure having everyone to dial in, and it's always great to come in and sit down and just open up our minds and go back and forth, especially with Sky and Janet and Amy Michelle. I love it. I think that you guys are a gift and a blessing in my life, and I want to thank you here while we're on the air before everyone to let you know how grateful and how honored I am that you guys will come on and do this with me on Thursday nights when there are so many other things you could be doing. So, again, I want to say thank you to you. And I want to say thank you to the audience for tuning in every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, because you could be doing a lot of other things, but you tune in. And when you, even when you're not saying anything, you're tuning in to listen. So we want to say thank you for that, and we appreciate you dialing in. Any parting words, Janet and Sky?
I just want to say, you know, just keep working. Just, you know, keep it going. If you find your relationship a beautiful thing, even if you're in a season where it's not so beautiful, put in that work, put in that time, put in that effort. And, you know, many times I'd ask myself, and I would, you know, so periodically throughout the relationship, say maybe every 6 months or so, I might go to her and I will ask, say, baby, are you okay? Are you okay with me in this relationship? Is there anything that you need more of from me? To, you know, is there anything you need less of? You know, I'll just go. It's just like being on a job and you go through an evaluation. You want to know, where do you come up short? Is there anything they need more of or whatever? That's all about, you know, putting in that work, putting in that energy, in that effort to please her, to make sure that everything, you know, is going okay, that she's okay. You know what I'm saying? Because some people don't feel like you're approachable at certain times, and so they won't say anything. Well, I don't want to start anything, so I won't say anything. But if you open up that opportunity and say, well, baby, I just want to sit down and talk to you. I just need to know, you know, I'm doing everything that I can. You know, I think you're a beautiful woman. I love you so much, and I just want to keep things, you know, beautiful. So is there anything that you need more of from me? It's okay to do that. That, to me, is maintenance and keeping it going and, you know, making sure that you do the work to keep your relationship healthy. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Janet.
Mm-hmm.
Minister, I wanted to thank you for the opportunity that you give us to talk about this. I also wanted to say something to the audience that this really is for you, and your participation is really important. I know, Minister, you would too. Is for the audience, a space for people to come to and really think about their relationships and get their question answered and things like that. There are ways to do that if you don't want to publicly say your name and who you are. There's ways that you can get your questions out without doing that. There's also, it's a necessary thing, you know, to have your feedback for us, so we can know that we're answering or we're giving you what you need as the audience, because we're doing it for you. But your participation is very important, and we want to hear you. We want to hear the things that you're talking about and what's going on. That way we can formulate what we're going to talk about that we can bring you in the future. So I just want to encourage the audience to some more participation from them.
And I want
and
to
what
also
do
say
they
too.
Need?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
There's anything, if there's anything you think that we can do differently, if we talk too much, say that, you know, to give you an opportunity. But it's really important that we get your feedback and your participation, because it is for you. That's it.
Yeah. I just wanted to say also too that I appreciate this opportunity as well. You know, to be able to come out on Thursday nights and be able to talk and interact and be able to share, you know, our views and different things of that nature. And I just wanted to say thank you for even, you know, giving me that opportunity. And it has been a pleasure to my kindred, as, you know, Minister Dupree, you know. And I call her kindred, been calling her that from day one since I first interacted with her on Facebook, probably about 3.5 years now. And it's like automatic connection with her. Out of all the people and the friends that I've had, I automatically connected with her. That's like, that's my kindred spirit right there, you know. So I've been calling her kindred, not out of disrespect. She knows what I mean, but I just want to say thank you for giving me that opportunity to participate in this experience.
And thank you guys both again. And so from the tops to the bottoms of our hearts and into the depths of our soul, we will continue to keep on loving you and continue to ask you to love yourself. Thank you for dialing in, and everyone have a great night.
You do the same.